Today is August 28, 2026. This is your functional health briefing for Patient. In the next 6 to 8 minutes, we'll cover new research showing how just 5 minutes of daily meditation may lower inflammation and support your gut health, why sharing family meals seems to protect both kids and adults, and what caregiver burnout and hearing health have to do with your long-term brain health. Before we get into any of that, here's the thing I want you to sit with for a second. You are not a passive passenger in your own health story. Every small choice you make today, how you breathe, who you eat dinner with, whether you get your hearing checked, is a form of self-advocacy. You don't need a perfect routine or medical degree to move the needle. You just need to start somewhere. So let's start. Neuroscientist Dr. Richard Davidson recently sat down with Dr. Rhonda Patrick on Found My Fitness, and what he shared is honestly kind of remarkable. In a large randomized trial, people who meditated for just 5 minutes a day for 28 days showed a measurable drop in interleukin-6, a key inflammation marker in the blood. And that improvement was still showing up 3 months later. Think of inflammation like a low simmering fire in the body. Davidson's research suggests 5 quiet minutes a day can turn that flame down and keep it down. Building on that, his team also studied roughly 1,200 people across all 50 states and found that same brief practice was linked to shifts in gut bacteria connected to something called the butyrate pathway, which helps protect the lining of your gut. Here's the part that reframes everything. Your gut has about 200 million neurons of its own, and it's in constant two-way conversation with your brain through the vagus nerve. It's not just your brain bossing your body around. It's a genuine dialogue. Davidson even pointed to earlier research showing meditators had a stronger antibody response after flu vaccination. Your calm mind, it turns out, may be quietly training your immune system too. That mind-body thread showed up again in a conversation therapist Jenna Frey had on Dr. Mark Hyman's podcast. She described how chronic stress, that fight, flight, freeze, or fawn state, can actually amplify ADHD symptoms by interfering with dopamine regulation. More importantly, this doesn't replace appropriate ADHD care, but it does suggest that calming the nervous system alongside treatment may ease day-to-day struggles for some people. Harvard psychiatrist Dr. Chris Palmer made a related point to Andrew Huberman: your mitochondria, the tiny energy factories inside your cells, also help regulate mood-related hormones and inflammation. In his clinical experience, cutting back on sugar and processed food has coincided with mood improvements in some patients, though he was careful to note the big controlled trials on this are still underway. So think of it as a promising lead, not a settled fact. Now, connection isn't just internal, it's social too. On Dr. Hyman's show, author Sean referenced a massive Brigham Young University analysis of 148 studies and roughly 300,000 people, finding that strong social ties were linked to about a 50% reduction in death from any cause. 50%. That's on par with quitting smoking. Sean also pointed to research in pediatrics and JAMA, showing kids who eat with their families at least 3 times a week have lower rates of obesity and disordered eating, and workplace data linking regular family dinners to lower stress and better job performance for adults. Here's why that matters so much right now. The average American adult's diet is roughly 60% ultra-processed food, and among kids ages 2 to 19, that number climbed from 61% to nearly 70% between 1999 and 2018. A shared, unhurried meal, even one, even simple, is a small act of resistance against that trend, and the research suggests it pays off in ways far beyond nutrition. Connection, or the lack of it, also shows up in caregiving. Following Dolly Parton's passing, physicians on Dr. Sunil Dan's channel noted that about 80% of caregivers report significant burnout and explained how that chronic stress can raise cortisol and, in some cases, even trigger a real condition called Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, literally broken heart syndrome. Relatedly, a researcher on the Modern Wisdom podcast reframed postpartum depression not just as biology, but as what she called an evolutionary and cultural mismatch. Modern parents often lack the built-in village humans evolved to rely on. Swedish research she cited found mothers filled fewer anti-anxiety prescriptions when fathers had greater access to paid leave. The takeaway isn't that struggling parents are doing something wrong. It's that support was never meant to be optional. More importantly, for your brain health long term, Dr. Dylan Wint of Cleveland Clinic explained that hearing loss is now considered one of the biggest modifiable risk factors for dementia. In the ACHIEVE trial, using hearing aids cut dementia risk roughly in half over 3 years, and every 10 decibel decline in hearing was linked to about a 20% increase in dementia risk. If you've noticed yourself turning up the TV or asking people to repeat themselves, that's worth a conversation with your doctor sooner rather than later. People often wait years before getting checked. On a related note, Dr. Hyman estimated that only about 6.8% of Americans meet his criteria for full metabolic health, pointing to insulin resistance and inflammation markers like hsCRP as often overlooked pieces of the puzzle. A few more threads are worth a quick mention. Immunologist Dr. Isaac Melamed discussed how infections like Epstein-Barr virus have been linked to conditions like multiple sclerosis, showing how immune and nervous system health intertwine over years, not days, and two personal opinion perspectives. One linking recurring vertigo to vitamin D's role in calcium regulation, another linking insulin resistance to high blood pressure, are worth raising with your provider, though neither reflects established consensus guidance yet. Separately, researcher Dr. Alex Tatum reported that new myostatin inhibitor drugs are being studied to help preserve muscle in people losing weight on GLP-1 medications. With an FDA decision on one such drug expected around September 30, 2025, for a rare muscle-wasting condition. Broader use for weight loss is likely still years away. Finally, two practical notes. Emergency preparedness guidance from the Red Cross and FEMA now suggests planning for power outages lasting 8 to 10 days rather than the traditional 3, especially important if you or a loved one relies on powered medical equipment. And if you're navigating grief or a major loss right now, this week's research is a gentle reminder that rebuilding is a process best done with support, not alone. So one simple, completely free step for today, find 5 quiet minutes while your coffee brews, before bed, anywhere, and just breathe. Notice your breath, let your shoulders drop, and if your mind wanders, gently bring it back. That's it. That's the whole practice. And the research suggests it's already working in your favor. You've got this. Take care of yourself. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.